welcome Hein Strauss and his wife Alta this morning. He's the evangelist and he's coming to bring us the word this morning.
Amen.
So open your hearts, open your ears and give him a warm welcome, because it's a privilege for us to receive you this morning. May God bless you. May God bless the word. Welcome.
Thank you, Dalian, for the kind greeting, and thank you so much for hosting us and having us. And I do greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what a wonderful privilege just to fellowship together, you know,
Amen.
And hearing the testimonies of how God has touched each and every one of us in such a unique and personal way.
Amen.
How he has met you at your point of need, totally transformed your life. What a wonderful Jesus we are. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We serve a living God.
Hallelujah.
Our God is not made by man's hands. Our God is not made by sticks and stones. He's not made by gold and clay. He's the living God, the great I Am. And it is in His name that we gather today. We gather with expectant hearts, knowing that where two or more gather together in His name, there He is in the midst of us. And so this morning, we are gathered here today, really knowing that He is here with us and He listens to every heart. He knows your deepest desires. I just want to pray before we start this morning's service. I'll be speaking about being Christian. What it means to be a Christian. Our responsibility and our walk. And so I ask you to just bow your heads as we pray for a moment. Father, I thank you that you've gone out before me by your Holy Spirit. That you, Lord, have prepared every heart. And you have prepared every mind and every soul. And you've made them ready, Lord, those who are here and those who are listening to this recording. Thank you, Father, that those hearts are ready to receive this word.
Yes.
We pray, Lord God, that you will minister to them by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you will continue to minister to every heart even after I am done. We thank you, Father God, that you are here with us. And we pray, Lord, that you will have your way in and through us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, being Christian, allow me to quote C.S. Lewis. This is a powerful quote, but it sets the tone so nicely. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but by it I see everything else." What a powerful quote. Today, many Christians have lost their presence and spiritual influence on society.
Amen.
Because they have put the emphasis on doing and not on being.
Amen.
There is a big difference. There is a vast difference between being a Christian and doing the things Christians are expected to do. Friends, we have a responsibility towards God because we represent His kingdom here on earth. You know, have you ever traveled along the roads and you see the churches? I'm not talking down on anybody. Please listen to me. But we have these high steeples and underneath them we have the boards that says Jesus saves, Jesus heals and Jesus delivers. But then after the service, we have people gathering outside for a smoke break. I know I'll get criticized for saying this, but hey, it's true. Put yourself in the shoes of the unbeliever walking past the church. And all they can think of is hypocrisy. You know, we carry the gospel with us. It is engraved in our hearts. It's part of who we are.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
It's absolutely part of every inch of us. Amen. From the tip of our toes to the top of our heads. And we have a responsibility to live it and to speak about it.
Yes. Yes.
Silent saints are like hidden talents. Christ should not just only be in our hearts.
Amen.
He should be in our mouths.
Amen.
In our actions. Visible for all to see.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It should manifest as fruit. Because a tree is known by its fruit. So we should be and will be known by our fruit.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 to 18, and I'm reading from the NIV, Jesus said, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit."
Amen.
That being the case, let's have a look at how and why a tree presents its fruit. Have you ever thought about that? How and why a tree has fruit and why it presents it in a certain way? Well, one thing is for sure, that fruit indicates the health of a tree. If you're a farmer and you planted a tree with the expectancy to reap a harvest from it, and that tree reaches the age where it is supposed to bear fruit and it does not, that tree becomes a liability to you. It's unproductive. In nature, if a tree was not to bear fruit, that tree, the lineage of that tree, will simply die out. It will have no way to reproduce. Fruit is a tree's way of advertising its seed.
Hallelujah.
That's why fruit are so colorful. They're pleasant to look at. They smell nice, and more often than not, they're very tasty. Think about it for a moment. Within the fruit is the seed. Within the fruit is the seed. Now, when a dying world that is desperately looking for something real, when they are in a state where the world can no longer satisfy the thirst, they can no longer satisfy the hunger that the soul experiences. It craves for that something real, and we have the answer. And when we are bearing fruit, they're attracted to it. And we know if they can consume the fruit, there is a very, very good chance that that seed can be planted.
Amen.
Picture this for a moment. This world, in its chaotic state, in its empty state, is kind of like a man wandering in a desert wilderness. The sun is beating down on him, and every step is tough. And he will be exposed to two things in that desert: a mirage and an oasis. The very best that this world can offer is the mirage.
Yeah.
It promises everything that the oasis promises, but it cannot deliver.
Yes.
You get there and you leave unfulfilled and frustrated.
Yeah.
Totally frustrated. But here, the wandering traveler, thirsty and hungry, comes upon the oasis. And they see there a tree standing next to a river. And the tree is bearing fruit. Do you think that the fruit on that tree is going to have to beg the man to partake of it? Do you think that the river will have to plead with him to drink? No. No. When we are Christian, we are the light of the world. We bear fruit. And the world, even though lost and dying, they know when they see the real thing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, how much more of a responsibility do we not have only to God, but also to be the light in this world, to bear the fruit? And you know what? It is totally natural for a fruit-bearing tree that is in a healthy state to bear fruit. It's not hard work. It happens.
Amen.
Because it was created for that very purpose. Friends, we are not Christians because of what we do. I want to make that point. We are not Christians because of what we do. We do what we do because we are Christian.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, also, again, I'm reading from the NIV. The Bible says the following. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why would they ask you that? Why would the world come to you? Why would a stranger come to you and ask you to give them a reason for the hope that you have? It's the fruit. It is the fruit. It attracts people. And it gives us such an opportunity to speak into their lives. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Our good works should and must always point to God.
Hallelujah.
We do not do this to attract attention to ourselves for our own glory. No, it is for God's glory. Because it is only by grace and by grace alone that we can do this.
Amen.
Who are we drawing attention to? When it becomes works, when it becomes obligation, we will draw the attention to ourselves. When we are Christian, our light shines in such a way that our good works glorifies our Father which is in heaven. When we have been changed by love, we are driven by that very same contagious power. We become motivated by compassion, not because of obligation.
Amen.
All around the world, we find people from all walks of life and worldviews doing good. You will even find atheist philanthropists who don't believe in God yet contribute towards those in need. Friends, now more than ever, we are to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Absolutely use words.
Yes.
Amen.
We have to speak about Jesus. We have to. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15, again, I'm reading from the NIV and it's Paul speaking. And just before he writes this, he said, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, from verse 14 of Romans 10, the Bible reads, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?
Yes.
As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
We often speak of revival and then immediately envisage masses of unbelievers committing their lives to Christ. When in its true sense, it refers to believers who are once again invigorated by the word of God, being once again purposefully passionate about the faith and its mission. When we preach the gospel, things happen.
Amen.
It totally deals the devil a massive blow in the spirit. He cannot stand against the power of God.
Amen.
He'll put up a big show. But it's only a show. Because as a believer, I do not no longer fight for victory. I fight from victory.
Yes.
Yes.
From victory. In 1 John 3 verse 18, and this from the ESV, the Bible says, "Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." In deed and in truth. Allow me to quote Brennan Manning. He said this: "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." True. It is fair to say that we have a great responsibility to lead the lost to Christ. But this is not solely the preacher's responsibility. It is the responsibility of the church, because it's the love of the church as a whole that will win this generation for Christ.
Amen.
What we need is a love revival.
Hallelujah.
Mm. A love revival. First Peter 4 verse 8, again from the ESV, the Bible says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." If we are serious about making a difference, we have to be serious about setting the example.
Amen.
We have to. Friends, there is no substitute for hard work and dedication. We are to be diligent and set an example. Thereby, when we have an opportunity to witness for Jesus, we will not be rejected for a lack of credentials. It's true. Many people make the lame excuse by saying, "Everybody does it. Why shouldn't I?" As a Christian, I should not ask, "How close to the waterfall can I walk without falling off? How close to the cliff can I go without falling off?" We shouldn't say, "How much like the world can I be and still go to heaven?" That's the wrong attitude. We must say, "How much like Christ can I be and please him?" G.K. Chesterton said it this way: "To have a right to do a thing is not at all the same as to be right in doing it." Again, place yourselves in the shoes of the skeptic and the unbeliever. I'll use myself as an example. If I were the laziest, most unorganized person at work, I'm never properly groomed, I dress like an apocalyptic zombie, and I never meet my targets, do you really think that anybody would take me seriously?
No.
It's just logical. Funny. I believe God expects us to set the standard in all areas of life.
Amen.
Most of all, we are to set the moral standard.
Yeah.
We cannot just do what ever we want in a sense that pleases our flesh. Pick up your cross and follow me. Paul writes, and he says, I am all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This, however, does not mean that in order for us to win the sinner, we become like the sinner. Mm-hmm. We partake in sin to win the sinner. That's not what he's saying.
Amen.
No. No, no, no. We don't compromise on our Christian values and ethics. We don't. You know, Jesus said, we are to be as sly as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. We have a responsibility for what we know. And you know, we have the Holy Spirit, our helper, to help us in our weakness, to do that which God has preordained and predestined for us to do. Ravi Zacharias, a preacher who I admire, he said, if we don't give this generation the word of God, we are wasting their time giving them anything else. You can give them video games till the sun turns blue. They won't get saved. You can give them every single thing that their hearts desires. That their hearts desire. But friend, if we do not give them Christ, they are lost in a desperate wilderness. I don't have a problem with things, but things cannot take the place of the living God ever. You see, the first part of the gospel is go. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, again from the NIV, the Bible says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world.
Amen.
Whenever we witness for Jesus, we have to be mindful of the fact that God hates sin. He hates sin. But he does love the sinner. In Luke 19:10, NIV, the Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We should always present the gospel in love and in truth. And as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent his kingdom on earth. And therefore, we have a responsibility to live our lives in such a way that glorifies his name. Living a godly life is essential and provides a stable platform from which we can share our faith with confidence. The more excuses we make for our own bad behavior or habits, the less likely we are of taking responsibility for our actions and doing something constructive about it. Adam said it was Eve. Eve said it was the snake. And the snake had no foot to stand on. That's the attitude. You know, I tell you what, let me just tell you a little story here, just a little on a little lighter note. My wife loves me. I know she loves me. Okay? God loves the sinner. I know that. God loves me. He loves you. He loves us all. That's why he sent Jesus. But I know my wife loves me. But when we were just married, I used to have this habit of throwing my washing not in basket, that's right. I didn't manage to get it into the basket. Neither was it on the floor. Just, you know, hanging on the side. Is there anybody that can relate with me?
No.
I see that hand, brother. Okay. So this was a bad habit of mine. Now I know my wife loved me. Man, but did she hate my bad habits? She never left me because of my bad habits. But one day she came to me and said, why don't you just leave me? And I thought, what? No, it looks like you want to leave me. Are you doing this on purpose? Why? It is almost in. Why not just in? You can do it. And I sorted it out. And praise God for my loving wife. She loved me through that. Just like Pastor Deline said, God does. He helps us and He loves us, but He enables us to overcome our bad habits and obstacles. That's why we have grace. Not so that we can sin, but so that we can overcome sin. In Jude chapter 1 verse 23, and here I'm reading from the New Living Translation, the Bible says, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Amen. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. We are to love the person, but we hate the sin. And you know, there is such a wonderful promise in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And again here, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Revelation 14, 13, the Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them.
Amen.
What a wonderful Jesus. The only thing that we can take to heaven is fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. My shoes staying here. Friend, climbing a mountain is not easy. It's not. There are no real shortcuts. Here is an interesting fact for you. In the first year of production, Coca-Cola only sold 25 gallons. That's 94.6 liters of cola syrup. It equates roughly to a mere 9 glasses a day. Today, they sell approximately 1.7 billion beverages a day. Imagine if he gave up all those years ago. We'll all be drinking Pepsi. But think about it. I'm sure there would have been opportunities. I'm sure there would have been times that they felt, well, it's getting tough. I can't do this anymore. I'm sure those times would have come. But they persisted. And so should we. So should we. How much more should we? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We are to give our very best and trust God for the rest. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, Amen. Do it with all your might. Amen. And by the way, just want to add this. Don't pray for promotion if you're the laziest person on staff. There's a practical side to this as well. Pastor Mark Hodgetts, a dear friend of ours, he used to say, some people are so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. He's not meaning that in a derogatory sense. He's not meaning that to put anybody down. But there's a real practical side to the gospel. There's a real practical side to being a Christian. We said earlier, I believe that God expects us to set the standard in all areas of life. So if you are the laziest person on staff, first things first, change what you can and be consistent at striving for excellence. Then you have authority to pray. You can certainly pray, God help me, but you have to, from your side, do what you can. Change what you can. Remember these lyrics from the classic Michael Jackson song. And okay, before I attempt this, let me just say that I don't believe I'm the most gifted of singers, okay? I kind of see myself in that sense like the widow in the Bible. She only had the 2 copper coins to give, but what she had, she gave. Okay? So I'm going to ask you for a little bit of, you know, grace. But I'm going to give it a good go, okay?
Oh, yes.
All right. Okay, here we go. You ready? Okay. Let me just work up some, you know, faith. Okay. All right. Okay. That song goes like this. The lyrics go like this. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Okay, come on, I need some help. Who's going to help me? Is there any, where's our gifted musician? Come on, just please, come on. If I'm willing to do this, for sure, you're talented. Are you sure? All right, I'll spare you. Okay, here we go again. We'll try again. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. You enjoy that? Okay, wonderful. So we have a responsibility to be the light in a dark situation. We have to take responsibility to do what God expects from us to do. We have so much hope that saturates our spirit. We have so much to offer this world. But only if it is genuine. Only if it is the real thing, because this world is tired of counterfeits and fakes. Friends, we serve a good God. We serve a mighty and powerful God. The real God, the creator of heaven and earth. We cannot even begin to comprehend him. Yet he chose to come here on earth to hang on a cross for our sins. That is the single greatest expression of love that this world has ever witnessed. And Jesus loves you and he loves me. But he loves the sinner. He loves the drunkard. He loves the drug addict. He loves the prostitute. He hates the sin absolutely. But the person is precious to him.
Amen.
He loves that person. And he so desperately desires, like he has done with each and every one of us. We all have a testimony of when that day came that the good Lord revealed him to our hearts. And we accepted and invited him in. And he changed us forever.
Amen.
And in the blinking of a moment, we were born again into the family of God.
Hallelujah.
And I know I was a lukewarm sinner for a long, long time of my life. I was a lukewarm Christian. God rescued me from that condition.
Amen.
That's a terrible state to be in.
Yes.
I tell you what, if God can do that for me, he can save the prostitute. They only need to hear the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
He can save the prisoner. About a month ago, I had the privilege to minister at Johannesburg Correctional Services in the female division. I was there with Big Gospel and Pastor Mark Hodgett, and we sang and we danced together. And then I had an opportunity to preach, and I gave an invitation. And I tell you what, the people came to the front because they knew they are empty inside unless Jesus enters.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just a man. God can use anyone. And God wants to use you. And as a Christian, we have to stand up and be counted. Because we represent the King of Kings. And He wants to save the lost.
Amen.
Now I'd like every head to bow just for a moment. And dear friend, if you are listening to this on the recording, and you have felt God touching your heart, you felt your spirit burning inside, and you know that this that I was sharing this moment is for you, and you are hearing this in your spirit, and you know, I got to make the change, and you've been putting it off day after day, opportunity after opportunity. You have been delaying your own salvation. Friend, I'm telling you, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Now is the time of salvation. The Bible says that if we declare with our mouths that we believe in our hearts that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. And all that I want to do this morning is just to facilitate this prayer with you. That if you are here and you've never given your heart to Christ, or if you're listening to me and you've never made that firm decision, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And I'd like to extend this prayer as well to those who once served the Lord, but they've grown cold. I don't care if you're sitting on the church board doing that out of obligation. But friend, we cannot lose our first love.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And if you today feel that you want God to touch your heart, that fire that once burned so passionately within your spirit, if you want Him to reignite that for you, friend, God can do that. I ask you to please pray this prayer with me. And I ask every person in the audience to please pray this prayer with us. Please join me in this prayer. Because this is such a wonderful moment for many people, those here and those listening. Because today can be the very first day of the rest of your life. Let us pray together. Father God,
I believe in my heart,
and I confess with my mouth
that Jesus Christ
died on the cross for my sins,
and He was raised from the dead.
I forgive everybody that has ever sinned against me.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash me clean.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And write my name in your book of life.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.